Q.
Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside the bad, bad city that is Jolly Roger's studio. Once again, this is the Q Filmcast, the show where we bring to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week at Jolly Roger's studio where we go around the table to tell you what we thought of it.
Yep.
Pretty easy enough, right?
Simple enough
concept. We do it all the time. that and our weekly top three list, which is always inspired by the movie in question. So no matter where you're at or how you've tuned in, thanks for doing so. We certainly appreciate it. Let's get right to it. I'm Michael, your host. As always, by the way. Why do I always have to add as
I don't know. In case you're not here.
Yeah, who knows? It comes out that way. The man you're hearing right now to my left is James Hard Sub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
Oh, I'm doing okay.
All right.
Yeah, I had a pretty good week.
Did you?
Yeah, but I'll tell you about that later.
All right. Savage. I want to hear it. I want to hear it.
And you'll get it.
All right.
how about Max Gumbo Johnson?
Hashtag save Hannibal.
Hashtag save Hannibal.
Too late, player. Too late.
I was going to.
You don't know that.
Yeah, you don't know that.
All right, I like how you just jumped right in with the hashtag save Hannibal.
I'm so upset.
This man's a crusader.
Right, yeah.
Damn. I'm going to fight for that show. By you know, God. If 2 more million people would have been watching.
Yeah, what if the whole time, like, we just needed one more guy?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's Max Gumbo Johnson right there, guys. Yeah, the illustrious one. He's on a crusade. Hashtag save Hannibal.
There you go.
But hashtag, let's get on with this show, Max.
All right.
How are you doing today?
I'm fine.
Yeah? There's one more here, and that's Adam the Bomb Rogers. Every single week, back in his producing cube.
Because y'all smell.
The greatest producer in the history of this Q Filmcast.
Yeah.
Coming up on 100 episodes, by the way.
Yeah, we are.
Send us your song.
Yeah.
Max, plug that. We did this last week.
We were trying to get a new theme song just to do something different. So if you want to write a song for us, whatever you want to write, write it and email it to us.
We'll be glad
to take a listen.
We don't have any boundaries. If you want to write a rap song, if you want to write a barbershop quartet, I keep trying to go for the barbershop quartet.
If you want to write a Gregorian chant.
Absolutely, operatic.
A Gregorian chant would be awesome.
That would be pretty cool. Be
awesome. Done by some real Gregorian monks.
like Gregorians.
Monks? Yeah.
From Gregory.
Some of that throat singing junk.
Some Tuvan throat singing.
Learn to play the theremin.
Yeah, we need a little bit of theremin.
With some Tuvan throat singing.
Yeah, so that's also something else we want to throw out there, too. We would like a new theme song.
Sure.
We don't care what it is. Just be creative. Do your thing. Send it to us somehow. Winner will be like gods to us, I promise. All right, but let's talk about keeping up with us too, Max. We can do that, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Ready, Savage?
Yep.
You know the routine.
Twitter,
Facebook, iTunes.
All of it.
But there's an even better way and a more appropriate way.
Yes.
I'm talking about the QFilmcast.net. Have you been there, Max?
Mm-hmm.
You go there often?
Not very often.
It's fantastic.
I've seen it. You know?
You know, from there you can follow any way you want. You can link right to our Twitter.
Sure.
Right to our Facebook page.
Yeah.
So, but that's what you want to do. You can go to QFilmcast.net.
See some little cartoons of us, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. See some cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Our YouTube channel, you got to go there.
Yeah.
Saturday morning for the kids. Put the TV away. Whip out the laptop.
There you go.
Go to the QFilmcast.net. Tell us how we're doing, whatever. And let's talk about the film this week. Let's just get right into that.
Let's get into it.
Yeah, but before we do that, Max, I want to reveal.
I thought we were going to get into it.
We are. But I want to tell you what kind of week I had.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Did you know that I wasn't sexually assaulted by an Iranian guy who looks just like John Turturro? Not one time this week.
Sure you weren't.
No, he looked a lot like, he looked like.
Ben Stiller.
Yeah, an Iranian guy never sexually assaulted me.
That's a good thing.
It's fantastic. I had a great week. You know, at no time did anyone bite my finger off.
That's another good thing.
I was going to say, did somebody bite your finger off?
And I was sticking them in a lot of mouths, too. No, I wasn't.
I'm about to bite your head off if you don't keep going. Come on.
Producer, did you know at no time this week was the last song I listened to, Hello by Lionel Richie?
That's too bad.
Yeah.
It's a sad song.
Yeah.
So if
Is
you
it me you're looking for?
not at the moment.
I can see it in your eyes.
Yeah, all night long, sir. I'm going to do this all night long. But you know what? Let's talk about the movie we're going to talk about. We're talking about last year's 2014 film, queued up by James Hard Sub Savage.
Yes.
What is it?
A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Not a good idea.
Especially in Bad City.
Even in a gated community, it's probably not a good idea. You agree?
Just to keep them in.
Yeah. There you go. There's your clues and there's your movie right there. We're talking about A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, written and directed by Anna Lily Amanpour.
Yes.
I love that name.
That is a nice name.
Anna Lily.
I would like to date a woman named Anna Lily Amanpour.
Nice Persian name. I like that. Stars Sheila Vand. We've seen her before in Argo.
Oh, really?
But that was kind of like her first time on screen for the most part.
Yeah.
Got her the role here. What's the matter? I'm talking about people stars. Erish Mirandi, Marshall Manesh, Mozan Marno, Dominic Raines. Dominic Raines was a bit of a boosh dag in this movie.
Yes, a bit.
When I say he's the boosh dag, you know what I'm talking about. The pimp? Yeah. Rose Shandalo and Milad Agbagi.
Yeah.
No, Agbali.
There you go.
There's your cast right there. Basically, this is an Anna Lily Amanpour film.
Yes.
She's getting a lot of praise for this.
Very much so.
It's like, okay, she's on the radar now, guys.
Yes.
And if producer will produce on the fly and get to me later, she's working on something else, too, that sounded really tantalizing.
The Bad Batch.
That's the one.
Yeah, in Mexico City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, this is what's pulling this film along.
Yeah.
The director, the star, Sheila Vand, inspires our top three, as they all do.
Yes.
Reveal, Savage. Go. What you got? What is this going to lead into for our top three?
The top three directorial debuts.
Now, I want to point this out. This is not necessarily her directorial debut. For a big extent, it is.
Yeah. I mean, for this size film, yeah,
right.
It really is. Like you said, on the radar.
Yeah, on the radar film.
Yeah.
But it brings about a conversation, I think, that we talked about earlier. Okay, what's a good introductory directorial debut? What are some films that were like the first big solid punch and you go, oh.
It's her first feature-length film.
All right, just want to make sure the top three was appropriate.
Yeah.
All right, so if you've seen this film, A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, keep listening, see if you agree or disagree, or if not, we don't care. We don't care. Max, we don't care, because you know what? This may be something you want to queue up yourself if you listen.
It may be something you want to go like, I don't want to see that.
It may.
Let's talk about what the critics give this film, Max. You know, we do this every week.
Right? Mm-hmm.
What do you think IMDb gave this film, A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, which is never a good idea?
6.2.
We've been doing this for nearly 100 episodes, sir. You've come close many times and never gotten it right, and tonight is no different.
I have so.
It's 7.1. Pretty close, I guess. I don't know.
I'm only a .1 off.
What about Rotten Tomatoes, Savage? Critics and user-wise, percentage-wise?
I'd say critics probably 84.
96% fresh
critics,
Rotten Tomatoes.
Go on, critics.
Get on with your bad self, critics.
Right. Users, I'll go 91.
78%.
Damn, it's almost the Coriolanus swing.
Yeah, almost. You want to talk about what we have?
Sure.
Let's talk about what this film is, Max. What do you say?
Let's talk about what this film
is. Let's do this. I'll bet you a girl walks home alone at night in this film. Maybe she used to be a girl.
I bet you everybody walks home alone.
A lot of people walk home alone. You'd think they'd know better in Bad City.
You would. Bad City. Hey, let's go for a stroll.
Where you want to go? Bad City.
Yeah. She skates more than she walks. She floats.
So what is this film, Maestro?
Here we go. A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. The first Iranian vampire Western ever made. Interesting, huh? Right there.
Yeah.
Anna Lily Amanpour's debut basks in the sheer pleasure of pulp. A joyful mashup of genre, archetype, and iconography. Its prolific influences span spaghetti westerns, graphic novels, horror films, and the Iranian New Wave. And it goes a bit like this. The film opens with a scene of a vast wasteland, Bad City, as they say. A quasi-ghost town, populated with oil drilling machines and a palatable sense of being. Here, Erish, a lonely teenager, lives with his drug-addicted father, who's constantly owing money to his dealer. Erish tries his best to make a living working as a gardener, where he's managed to keep the wolves at bay, as well as save enough for a pretty sweet ride. Unknown to him, though, the city is inhabited by an equally lonely young vampire, whose name we never learn. She acts as a sort of vigilante, choosing to feed from those who she considers bad, killing them without mercy. One night, though, when she runs into Erish, she will finally know the possibilities that love offers, and that even in Bad City, a small glimmer of hope can still shine.
Yeah.
How about we take a break right now? Let's take a break. Listen to a piece of this film. We're talking about the trailer. Well, what are we going to listen to? We can't have a trailer for this film. It's all in Iranian. You know what we're going to do?
Thanks,
we're
going to
walk around.
City.
We're going to walk around alone at night for just a few minutes. You come back. We're going to talk about this film right here. Here you go. چیزی که میبینی از چی هستی؟ من قدم
یه دونه طوفان می اومد. یه دونه طوفان خیلی شدید از پشت اون کوه. چیزی عوض میشه.
There you go. A girl walks home alone at night. Yeah, public service announcement. Don't do that.
Especially in Bad City.
Yeah, especially in Bad City. So there's the film we're going to talk about right there. And let's get into just a little bit of facts, a little bit of trivia.
Sure.
Max Gumbo Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that director Anna Lily Amanpour, who bears a somewhat similar resemblance to the girl, Sheila Vand, actually performed the skateboarding sequence in the film herself? She's a lifelong skateboarder.
Get out of town.
No, that's the director performing the skateboarding stuff.
That Amanpour, I love her more and more.
Savage.
What?
A lot of people think this was filmed in Iran. It's an Iranian film and all this. Not true. It's an American film, American budget.
Yeah.
All American actors. Well, British actor.
Yeah. I mean, and the guy's German.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do.
Basically, there's no Iranians in this film. Did you know this was shot in Taft, California?
Yeah, I thought it was shot in Bakersfield.
Close. I think it's similar.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Wikipedia said Taft. Maybe said Taft and Bakersfield.
I didn't know it was shot in California.
Maybe I'm just lazy, didn't put both cities down. Did you know that the cat was not originally written in the script, but Amanpour was so impressed by his cat skills that she put him in the film?
Cat skills.
It was not filmed in the Catskills, by the way. No, that's Dirty Dancing, by the way.
Now she sounds like a Jewish comedian. She just gets better and better every second.
Oy vey, Max. Did you know that the word vampire is never once said in this film, producer?
Well, no, it's in Arabic.
I stand corrected.
Yeah, you got you. And it's not in Arabic, it's in Farsi.
Did you know, one last one, that with the exception of record players and radios playing music, there is no soundtrack in the film whatsoever? It's either on a radio, a car stereo, or a record.
A record. Hmm. I noticed that.
I didn't. I just read it, and I there's, kind of blew
my mind.
It was
all atmospheric music.
Yeah,
it was
all atmospheric.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
Let's get into what we thought, guys. All right, we know what the critics thought.
Yeah.
Savage.
Yeah.
The currency for this film, and we don't use thumbs up or thumbs down, by the way.
No.
That's vampiric.
It's so vampiric.
It's bloody.
It's all fangy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're going to use what? What are we going to use? 1 to 10 what?
Chomp fingers.
I want you to go with that. I want you to say chomp fingers, 1 to 10. How many are you going to give this film?
I'm enraptured by this film. Not since Holy Motors have a film struck me like this. This is a flawless film. This is 10 chomp fingers. I would chomp every one of my fingers off for this film.
Toes?
Hmm. Now, maybe not my toes. I mean, let's get real.
All right, so 10 chomp fingers.
I love this film.
Yeah, you're hot on this one.
Yes.
A little bit of smoke coming off this one
yes,
for you.
Yes, I can stare at this thing indefinitely.
Max, he's all in.
Sounds
he's
like
all
it.
In. And I can stare at you indefinitely, by the way. But I would,
appreciate
I'm
that.
Not going to do that.
I thank you.
But he can stare at it indefinitely. He's saying he has 10 chomped fingers.
Mm-hmm.
That's including thumbs, by the way.
I know. That's all 10.
What about you? We're talking about a girl walks home alone at night, chomped fingers. What do you think? You going to go with him or are you going to part the other way?
I'm going to part ways. I'm going to go 6 chomped fingers.
Okay.
We'll get into it. 6.
Really?
Yeah, just...
Okay.
Didn't
quite grab you that way. Producer. So we had 10 and 6. Okay. Well, you didn't hate it. I think he's actually being generous. I can see a little sparkle in his eyes. Trying to be generous with this. Producer, we're talking about a girl walks home alone at night, chomped fingers. What you got?
I'm going with one of you, but it's Max. It's a 6.
Really? Didn't care for it that much?
No, I thought it was good. I mean, there are some things I'll get into.
Okay. Leaves it up to me, man.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what. Sometimes there's like, that director's a lot like that director.
Yeah.
And he's really trying to rip it.
Yeah.
But if you do it better than the person that you're trying to emulate, that's fine. I'm going to go 9 chomped fingers on this.
All right. All right. Bringing it up.
I was all in on this one. It was set a hook in me.
Yeah.
So, we'll see what happens here. We'll go into the conversation.
Yeah.
I'm going quicker to Savage's side here. I thought this was fantastic.
Fantastic?
It was fantastic.
Somebody had to say it.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this film a lot, man.
Yeah.
So let's get into it. Let's talk about it. And why don't you lead it off, Savage? We're talking about A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. You love this thing.
Yeah.
You queued it up.
Yeah.
So tell me what you got. Why are you enraptured by this film?
Well, and I think a lot of it goes to my initial viewing of it. It's that I was drawn in just by the cover art. And if you see the cover art, it's real graphic, you know, and not graphic as in bloody, but just hard.
It has that Saul Bass look.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in the initial thing that I read on Netflix was just like something happens in Bad City and it goes from worse to worse. So for one, I didn't know it was Iranian and I did not know it was a vampire film. and I just started watching it.
That's a good way to watch it, I think.
Yeah, I was. So when the vampire thing popped up, it was like, whoa, it's a vampire film. What? And
you didn't see that coming at all.
Not at all. Not one bit. And so obviously it's all spoiled to the listeners now because it's a vampire film. And if you really look at the poster, it's clearly a vampire film. Mm-hmm. So I like my naivete about it. Mm-hmm. It really served me well. But this thing is absolutely beautiful. Every frame is a photograph. This is a name to know coming up in the world of direction.
Yeah.
She knows where to put a camera. She knows how to light a scene. She knows what to get out of her actors. The Iranian language, the Farsi thing, serves. I think it just makes it otherworldly.
Yeah.
And from the opening frame where you see him just all cool, swaggered on the fence, and then he jacks a cat. I mean, he steals a cat. And
yeah, a little bit of a James Dean thing going on. And then you have the spaghetti Western font.
Yeah.
That turns into black.
And then the sound.
Oh, it's fantastic.
But he steals the cat.
Yeah.
And then when he walks past a pit full of bodies,
yeah,
right then I was hooked. I'm like, what is this place? What is this movie? What is this story that they're about to tell me?
And I didn't know if it was going to keep one foot grounded in reality and one foot in the existential. It does both.
It really
does. It's otherworldly and then it's very grounded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very much so. And it just continues with this beauty, this intensity, and the still camera. She can place a camera and not move it for minutes and minutes and minutes and minutes, and you just don't see that.
Yeah, and real quickly, I will follow you up, but there's one shot in this film where that's completely
God.
On display.
Yeah.
That's one of the best shots I've seen, period. With the skateboard against the wall.
That,
I mean, just...
Yeah, and the off angle of it and everything, the mm-hmm. the skewedness of it, but the record scene is even more.
Oh, with the white lies.
Oh, I mean, that's the one I thought you were going to say.
That's the one I was going to say. That scene right there is... You're beholding something new and different right there. That right there, it is enough to make this movie a 10 over so many other movies.
It's unbelievable.
It's astounding.
Ironic, though, the night I watched this film, my wife comes down from the upstairs wearing a White Lies t-shirt. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You haven't worn that in 3 years. What are the chances?
Yeah. And the song is called Death.
Yeah.
And there's so many of those levels. If you start getting into the subtext and the nuance of all of that, I mean, right now I'm just talking about just how gorgeous it is.
Yeah.
The knock on it, and I'm sure Max will get into this, is that the plot on its surface seems very thin, but it's not, and we can get into that. And I'm going to gush on a little more, so let me see how Max brings it down. Or Adam.
Yeah.
Let's have Max bring it down because Adam will just chirp.
Yeah, Max. Max, you
want your 5 seconds, Adam? You want to go ahead and take them now?
Nice. Nicely played there. Max, now, you went 6 on this. Savage's 10. A Girl Walks Alone at Night. Bring it down just a bit. He put it way up there. Grab the cord. Pull it.
It's a good-looking movie. But so is Treasure of Sierra Madre, and that's a much better film. It's a nice thing to look at, but I went to see this at the Bell Court when it came out, and a couple people asked me, well, how was it? I was like, I don't know. I think I need to watch it again because it just didn't really strike me as much. So I thought, okay, I'm going to watch this again.
Right.
Last night, boy, I sat down. All right, I'm going to watch this movie all by myself, turn the phones and everything off. Right. Same thing. Thinking back on it right now, I can barely remember how it ends.
Oh, I can't.
It just was just, it's forgettable for me.
Huh.
It's good looking. It's has its unique properties to it, but it's all show. And, you know,
I disagree. And I remember you said that about Samsara. Another thing that I loved. And your line was,
it's much easier to say that about Samsara.
Beauty doesn't make a good film.
Doesn't make a good movie. No,
right.
Yeah.
I agree. This is a good movie. It's a good looking movie. It's kind of interesting to a point, but after a while, it's like, okay, and it struck me as just hollow.
That's strange. I thought you'd get a little more out of that. Maybe I put too much into it. Maybe you're right, and Savage is going off the reservation a bit. Maybe I am.
I don't know. We'll have to see what you have to say.
Let me tell you what I said real quick, and then we'll go back, because we'll do good, bad. Let me tell you what I put. All right, and then after this, we're going to take a break, get into some scenes.
Okay.
That's going to be fantastic. Yeah. There are some pretty interesting scenes here.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime you dance like that in a film, you deserve to have something bitten off.
He's bobbing his head, people.
He's actually just letting you know.
Yeah, right.
It's like a Night at the Roxbury in Bad City.
In Persia, right? Yeah.
Let me tell you what I got. The one word I'm going to go with along with you on, Savage, is hypnotic. I watched this film, and a comfortable stare just crept over me. I mean, I just got lost in it. I don't care whether or not it resembles another director's work, because that's going to come up.
Yeah.
Jarmusch, and oh boy, it looks like there's shades of Tarantino. But when you use that template, And you actually make it somehow fresher and even more refined than the person you're taking it from.
Yeah.
That's quite an accomplishment. I haven't seen a film that looks as good in a long, long time for me. Obviously very talented, this girl, not only because the aesthetics that are at work here, I say it because of the tone and the development. I don't want to just leave it as this is a good-looking film.
No.
This movie goes places. Beyond what she's showing you, she's also teasing you along with a fantastic use of character and dialogue. It gives you everything you need to make a complete work. At least that's what I got out of it.
Yeah.
All while being ponderous. It's very, very ponderous, this film. But there's a real humanity and soul to this movie, too. The characters, I don't think they're one-dimensional at all.
No.
They do a lot with a little. Once again, I think a good film goes beyond the surface. I think this one did for me. It's compelling. It's beautiful. And it takes on things that we think we've seen before, but shows them to us again, and I think even better. The performances are ripe, too. I like the performances in this film.
Yeah.
Conversation and dialogue are well-hatched. It's lean. If one of the ideas of this film is to make you want to see more of someone's work, then this is also a huge success because I was hypnotized by it. I can't wait to see what's next from this girl. I just have a lot of good stuff to say. It did hit my chord. It hit me in the sweet spot. But not just because of what I was looking at. I was really invested into the little things they passed along conversation-wise. It made things more developed than at the surface they appear to be for me. But I'm just me.
Well, that's, you know, hey, you can only watch it as you.
Yeah, that's right.
That's all you can do.
Yeah, right.
I would love to see the world as
him. I am anxious to see what she does next, though.
Yeah. I would love to see the world as Adam. Just one day. I want to spend one day,
just one day
watching the world as you, sir. But thank God I haven't. Producer, we're talking about a world. A girl walks home alone at night. You went six as well. Why?
Okay. First of all, yes. All y'all are saying, beautifully shot.
Yeah.
I love the use of black and white. Mm. I think a lot of these shots could be taken, put on my wall as a
photograph.
As a photograph, and I would be happy having it.
Yeah.
Fantastic. The story I really liked. Here's my problem with it. You have these extremely long periods of, I want to say, hesitation. It's 10 minutes long of one shot that could be summed up in a minute. But it just takes forever to get there. I don't need to have a 5-minute conversation about a hamburger. I'm sorry.
I love that.
No, it's ridiculous.
Well,
yeah, it's called dramatic pause, maybe.
Well,
no,
it's called subtext, sir.
No, if we stopped talking for a little while, everyone's going to be like, okay, what's going on? And it's going to suck. That's the problem. I like it. I like looking at it. But, my God, keep going with the story. There's about 30 minutes that could be cut from this film.
Just on pauses.
To make it a fantastic movie.
You thought it was a little bit too drawn out.
Yes.
It needed to tighten up.
It really did.
The wheels on the skateboard.
He's hating on the thing that I love.
Yeah. The wheels on the skateboard had to go a little quicker. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
No, just the pacing of it. It just took too long to get to where it needed to be.
All right, pacing. I understand. Okay.
It just needed to keep going.
I like that it flirted with me with what you call subtext, that it made me sit there and go, okay, what are you really trying to tell me?
Yeah.
You think you're telling me a 5-minute story about a hamburger, but I know you're not.
No.
And I love that it led up to other things, that led into that great scene with the ear piercing and all that.
Yeah.
And she secretly loved it, too. You see the way that ecstasy came out when the fangs shot down?
Oh, yeah.
We'll get into scenes. But matter of fact, why don't we do that? Why don't we stop right here?
Right?
Should we even take a break? Listen, audience, we don't know.
Yeah.
We do this every time we do a subtitle film. We don't know what we're going to play yet.
Right.
But we have to go take a break. We're going to come back in a minute, listen to this, and we're going to get into some scenes. A girl walks home alone at night. And here you go.
Welcome to my home. Enter freely of your own will and leave some of the happiness you bring.
Count Dracula?
I am Dracula. And I bid you welcome, Mr. Harker, to my house. Come in.
And we're back, and there's something or other in reference to the film we're talking about, A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Right.
So, yeah, let's get into it, guys. Scenes, a little bit of scenes from this film.
All right.
I want to start out with Max Gumbo Johnson
on
this one. I'm feeling a little gumbo right now.
Really?
Is that what
I do?
Yeah.
Right.
Just a little bit of gumbo. Max.
What part of the feeling are you feeling
I don't
gumbo?
Know what I'm talking about. Yeah, Max, talk about some scenes in this film. Actually, something that may come out to the surface when you think about this film instantly. Talk about something that that comes to mind.
A couple of scenes I can think of that I really like. One
that
was,
you remember that isn't forgettable?
No, there's. I may have been. It sounded a little way too harsh than I meant it to come out. Right. It's just the first two scenes I think of right away. We already mentioned the record player scene.
That stands out.
I really like that. I really like that scene.
That played well with the pacing.
That's one of the best scenes in cinema history.
Oh, come on.
Yes. Wow. I say it.
I need to see more movies.
Savage. It's good. It uses what's in his quiver, but that's a bold statement.
Yeah, well,
that's a bold
real
statement.
Bold.
Shoots high.
The other scene was when she was following the little kid on the skateboard.
You like that?
And she said, "Are you a bad boy? Says, are you a good boy? Yes.
Tell the truth.
I'm going to ask you one more time." I kept expecting that sort of to pay off as him sort of being her Renfield.
Yeah.
Almost like she's going to follow this kid for the rest of his life, and he's in debt to her now because she didn't kill him or whatever.
Story may not be over.
You know, Max, I have my notes here. Here's what happened. She says, "Are you a good boy?
Are you a good boy?
Don't lie." And she says, "I can take the eyes out of your skull and feed them to the dogs. I'll be watching you for the rest of your life, mm-hmm. so be good."
Yeah. So that's
she also kind of monsters out right there. Ooh, that
such
voice.
Sweet romantics.
Yeah. And when I was watching that scene, put that up against what happens earlier in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then even what happens later in the movie, I'm like, this is sort of a feminist bent on the vampire lore, as far as I was concerned.
It kind of is.
Because, I mean, she didn't kill any women.
Nope.
And she only killed guys that did bad stuff.
No, because there was the vagrant.
Vagrant.
Well, she kills the guy in the alley. She devours him. That was pretty vicious.
Yeah. And
he did something, though.
I mean, possibly, maybe on the editing room floor or something, but in the film, that person, that character was never shown doing anything detrimental like the other victims were.
I like what Max is saying.
She knew, though.
There's some kind of a message here. She's trying to devour men. She has a problem with men, is what you're saying.
With bad men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the director, Amanpour, she's heard this because what politically are you trying to say about, you know, the Persian archetype lifestyle, you know, all that? And that was never her intent. I mean, that conversation happens outside, like we're having right now.
Well, but I mean, it came across to me.
Yeah, no, and it's clear because you can see it. I mean,
well, you know what, though? Max makes a good point. He's talking about the scenes that stand out.
Yeah.
That ties into his theme because she's telling him, "I go after bad boys."
Yes.
I mean, she sets that. Don't be it, because when you're a bad boy, I suck out your eyes and feed them to the dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, so be good, because if you're a good boy, that won't happen.
Yeah. And those are the scenes. I mean, if she's going to expect you to remember something from the movie, and that's the stuff you remember, well, I mean, people are going to draw that conclusion. If you didn't want that conclusion to be drawn, you should have done something to distract from it.
What did you think of her performance?
I thought she was great.
Yeah,
I thought everybody did a good job as far as their performances in this. Everybody hit the right notes as far as, you know, being sympathetic or being a scumbag or being creepy or you know, in the shadows, wherever they were supposed to be. I think everybody did fine. It just rang hollow to me.
I can get that. Sometimes it's like that.
Yeah, just how it hit you.
Did you feel like you'd seen it before? Is it kind of that aspect to it? Like, I've seen this kind of thing before?
No. Oh, okay. I didn't get that. But you know, in the case of this movie, I had seen it before and had forgotten so much. The only scene I really remembered was the skateboard scene. That was the only one I remembered from the first time I saw it.
Didn't you think she looked pretty good on the skateboard? I mean, the way she rode it was pretty cool.
She looked awesome with that cape.
With the it's Chador.
She looked like a female Batman.
Yeah, she looked like a female Batman. And there's a couple scenes where that cape over
Chador.
Whatever. It's a cape, okay?
It's a cape.
Here it's a cape. Christ. I'm sorry. Sue me.
Right.
Her Chador. Mm. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's laying over top of the skateboard, and it gives that just unearthly look where she's floating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's used to great effect like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like she's on a skateboard a lot of times. She's floating on it.
Well, and then it becomes very practical, too, with the pushing him down the sidewalk where he's rolling on an X. You know?
He's rolling, all
right. Right.
Yeah, he's dressed up like he's Dracula.
He's Dracula.
Yeah.
So those are the two scenes Max talks about. He talks about, obviously, and I'll get into that a bit, because that's certainly one of my favorite scenes, too. It's the one I may think of first, maybe second.
Yeah.
But the disco ball spinning.
Oh, my.
The white lies playing. And they keep going back to her room, and she's this product of the 80s. She's been listening to Lionel Richie. She has Madonna on the wall. Mm-hmm. I think she has the Ramones on her wall, which was very strange. There's a lot of oddities in that film.
There's Run DMC, I think.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of it.
So she's probably a teenager at that time, or
who knows?
That's probably when everything happened.
Okay,
she's stuck at that
age. It's very much from a different time, because at first you think at their times, okay, this is modern day. And then, okay, maybe it's the 80s. And then they pull up in these 1950s cars. Yeah. It's like you don't know what time you're looking
at. That's what I was about to say. That's one of the things that you know, it'll make it a timeless movie because it's, I mean, there's nothing to indicate what year this thing takes place. All we know is it's sort of in modern times because they have cell phones.
But it had a 50s element. I mean, you think you're looking at James Dean in the beginning.
Yeah.
Producer.
Yeah.
I want to go over to you. I want to talk about A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. A producer walks home alone at night.
Yeah.
That's never a good idea either. Don't do that.
No one's touching me. I'm not worth it.
Let's talk about some scenes that stand out for you. What do you got? Maybe
Max
something we didn't
mention.
Talk about.
My two favorites.
We'll talk about your second two favorites. I don't care. talk about this movie, please.
Oh, I think Marshall Manish was the guy who stole this movie. The dad.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I really like this dude. I like every single thing he's been in. This was his best performance by far.
Ever seen him anything, Max? Anything else than this?
Not that I know of.
He's familiar. He's got a familiar face.
Okay. True Lies, Big Lebowski.
I'm asking. I don't recognize the guy, though.
He's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I recognize him. I couldn't tell you
anything.
He's
got little bitty bit parts, but he's always one of these guys I was like, oh, that's that dude.
Yeah, he had a couple good scenes. I also like the scene in this movie towards the end when you talk about this guy where he's freaking out and he thinks the cat, which someone may have to explain to me the cat in this film.
I have a theory on that.
There's a theory here, but he keeps saying, the cat has your mother's eyes. Get the cat out of here.
Yeah. I mean, the cat may be her eyes.
Yeah.
You know, because when she's driving by, when he's going through that scene with the prostitute, she doesn't know he's in that room, but somehow she stops and knows that that's going down, and she breaks in the door. You know, she knew what was going down in that room.
There's some ponderous stuff to this film, and that's one thing I thought about was the cat. We know that the cat supposedly has his mother's eyes.
Yeah.
And he takes off with his cat at the end. What's the cat trying to be here?
I thought it was the girl's familiar.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's ponderous has a negative connotation to it, but I think it's appropriate. It makes you think, and that'll go back to Max's point. It's where you think it feels hollow. I think it just doesn't give you that. It lets you try to figure it out. Like the body pit. When I saw that body pit, you're 1 minute into the film, and he's passing by a pit filled with bodies, like a culvert just filled with bodies. And they never say anything about it.
Maybe
it's never addressed. It's never. It's never brought up. It's just
spoiler. That's where the dad ends up.
Yeah.
You know.
It's where everybody ends up.
Well, that's never really established. That's where.
Does
he
it
ends
mean
up.
That death is all around this town? You have the oil rigs too, which were to great effect. They look like monsters in the background.
And that there's subtext there. That's imagery. That's the pulling the life out of the living thing. You know, that's the relentlessness of it, and. The body pit, the oil derricks, the attack on men. There's a lot of things going on that she doesn't spoon feed people, and so you got to figure it out. You got to figure out what it is, and I don't claim to have the answers to it. I don't find it hollow. I find it very desirous of trying to understand it more. But as far as scenes go, the record scene, that thing is.
I may go home later and watch that.
Yeah, it's just astounding. You can YouTube that. It's like a video for the Death White Lies thing.
I showed it to Lisa. She says, that's fantastic.
It really, truly is. I love the hamburger scene. I love anything that she's in because she's got those great, emotive, giant eyes that can just stare down a camera.
Oh, she's great.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh.
She really is good. Max, I like the performances a lot. You said everybody was kind of serviceable in that, but...
No, I wouldn't say they were serviceable. I thought everybody did a good job. I don't think anybody was like, wow, that dude was awesome.
I felt like that about her. I thought she is awesome. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Didn't get it.
Okay.
But scenes. Bushdag.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Oh, that pimp. That dance scene where that alpha male swagger that he's got with his tiger striped house.
Max, let me get into this with you here. And producer.
Man tattoo.
Fantastic, yeah. Bushdag, there you go. Bushdag's part two. We could do it. Producer, speaking of which, I'll get to you in just a minute. I don't know. It was there. I wanted it. I grabbed it. I ran with it.
Oh, go ahead.
Hey. Gumbo. I want to talk about that because that is probably, in the end, maybe the first scene I think of. I love that character. I mean, that is a big push to the film. That's the scene where it has all the heat.
Yeah.
It has all the reveal. It has some mystery. And it has a Bushdag. I loved it. I loved his character.
Yeah, he was modeled after Ninja from Diane Tord.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly
and
who he looked like.
He looks dead up like him.
Did you think that was a bit too slathered on? It was pretty thick. This guy is a
jerk.
He's a Bushdag. Did you like that whole play? Did you like that whole scene?
I liked his scene at the beginning with him where he takes the guy's car.
Yeah. Where he stared him down with a look.
I like the scene in the car with the prostitute. He's, how old are you now? 30. Oh, you're getting old.
Yeah.
Like, wow, really?
Right.
That's rough, dude.
you know, gets his way, kicks her out, yeah. and takes her money.
Yeah. But he was terrified. Did you think he knew that she was a vampire? He knew something was lurking out
there.
No, he didn't know.
No, man, that guy's alpha male. He didn't care.
Are you watching the same film?
Yeah.
Because he looks in the rearview mirror, he sees her standing way out in the distance, he gets freaked out.
No, he looks back and she ain't there. That's what freaked him out, that she was gone.
I think he knew all along there's something out there hunting me.
No.
Maybe it was urban legend.
But if that was the case, why would he have let her into the apartment?
No. And that's good. Another maybe thing. He invited her.
Okay, if he knew somebody was haunting, if they said she's a vampire, you have to invite him in.
Exactly.
That's the rules. Right. It's the rules.
rest in peace, Christopher Lee, by the way.
But that whole scene. And then again, it goes back to the use of camera. There's a lot of those still shots. It's like, I'm doing the master shot here, not this cut, edit, MTV edit thing that happens in a lot of films. That whole still static shot, which Adam doesn't seem to agree with, it's used masterfully, especially in that. The whole dance thing where he starts doing his little bushtag dance and...
Yeah, when you're using a still camera like that and you're just setting up a camera and watching it, it makes you feel like you're in the room with your arms crossed just watching it play out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then her just complete non-reaction to his bushdaggery.
Well, she knows what she's there for.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she had a plan when she got in there. She was like, I know what I'm here. I know what I'm doing to this guy.
She knows she's the apex predator in that relationship.
And she specifically targeted him because he's the worst man in town.
Yeah, right.
He's a drug dealer. He's a pimp.
Right.
He beats up the women he pimps out.
Right.
Even if they're old and 30.
Yeah, even if they're old and 30.
Right. Hag.
They did show one later. Yeah, called a hag.
Right. Oh, she had that beautiful dance scene, though. I forgot about that.
Oh,
that
she
was
did.
Awesome.
That wasn't her.
With the
I
dad?
Was wondering, was that that was a different
that
one?
That was a drag queen. That
no,
was like,
not the one with the balloon. The other one with the where she's backlit.
Yeah. Another beautiful
that
scene.
That was fantastic.
That's
that
a
was
gorgeous
good.
Scene.
That okay, yeah, I did. Yeah. That was one of my favorite
scenes. I rewound that. Watch that.
She lets her hair down. That spot
oh,
hits her.
Oh, my God. That was fantastic. Seriously.
What a beautiful scene.
Let's talk a little bit more about some of the scenes that don't jump out. Maybe some things that ever we think about go, you say to yourself, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah,
Adam, by the way, you would look great with a neck tattoo and a tracksuit. Do you know that? I think that should be a new look for you.
And some abs.
Yeah. You're talking about some of the detail scenes, as I say, things that you don't think about. Why was that scene with the black balloon in there?
The interlude. It's an interlude.
The interlude. You're talking about the transsexual dancing around.
Well, drag queen. I don't know if it's transsexual. I didn't see under the clothes.
I guess so. Drag queen. I'm sorry.
You're right.
Yeah, yeah.
It was from the party. It was
when the beans or franks are still on the plate. You're just a trans.
Yeah, well, you're just like okay. Wearing girls' clothes.
Okay, that. But with the black balloon. With the black balloon.
Maybe it's still tripping on X.
It could be.
I thought that was a strange scene. You called it an interlude, but I thought maybe it just looked so good they didn't want to leave it. It didn't add much to the film, but I remember it.
It really has no purpose there other than just to be visual and an interlude. It's like it breaks from where they meet and then after they've met.
Yeah.
I think it's more to set. It's a tone setter is all it is. I mean, it's something David Lynch would throw into one of his movies for no obvious reason. It's just something in there. And you go, well, what's that in there for?
Well, there's definitely some Lynch aspects.
Yeah.
To this.
Well, yeah. No way. Really.
If there'd have been a flicking match or something.
But I mean, I think she sort of got that directly from Lynch where he'll just throw something in there. And it doesn't really have anything to do with the story or what's going on. But it sets a tone and a mood for either what's going on during that scene or what's to come after that scene. It could be for the rest of the movie it sets that tone. Yeah. It takes 30 seconds of something.
Well, it's an interlude because it's during the day. She can't be out during the day. So, again, it's to carry over from where they meet until they can meet again kind of thing.
It's kind of a, hey, stay with me kind of moment. Like,
yeah,
just
a
hanging
bizarre
there.
Balloon bonnet moment.
You know, I'm going to talk about the lead a bit in this film. I can't remember the guy's name.
The guy who played Arash.
Yeah, the James Dean guy.
Yeah.
I felt like it was well served when they finally got together. There was enough there with the scene in the bedroom and then the scene with the ear piercing, which I loved. She couldn't wait to get her ear pierced, and it was almost like a sexual thing. She was so aroused by the hamburger. I liked them together. I liked the way their worlds gradually came together, and they run off together. But I wouldn't call it like this romantic heavy. But it felt very appropriate, and it felt right when they were together on screen. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, even though he never knew her name.
Right, never knew her name, yeah.
Typical man.
Yeah.
I don't care what my name is. He just wants my body.
Right.
No, I did feel that, too. I was like, well, this was a pretty... It progressed naturally. It didn't seem forced. And that's a tough thing to do.
It is.
With something like that, to stretch this out over a 45-minute period. during the movie where you just gradually get these people together two or three times. That worked really well. Still, though, it just...
Okay.
It was all for naught as far as I'm concerned.
Sometimes you can't put your finger on it. Well, sometimes you get your finger bit off and you literally can't put it on it. But Max can't put his finger on it.
Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying. Hey, a couple other things, too, I have written down here, and we'll get into our top three here pretty soon. We're getting there, producer. One last thing. The auntie in the vamp scene. Auntie is the prostitute.
Yeah.
There was a nice little interlude there. She gives her jewelry.
Yeah.
She goes.
She gives the pimp's jewelry.
Yeah, the pimp's jewelry.
And she knew.
That's right.
Yeah. I wanted to bring that scene up. And I'm confused. Was that the same one that was 30 and getting old?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
She looked really bad in that scene.
She's 30. She's old. Dude.
I know. That's what I thought.
She's a hag.
I was like, man, she does look bad for 30. That dude wasn't playing. She really did look rough.
No, she didn't.
Right. I don't know, but I thought about that during. I said, is that the same girl? Because the one in the car looked pretty good. This one,
she had the makeup on.
Not so much.
Well, she was trying to get the vamp to be a prostitute. She goes, "You want to come up? You want me to show you what I do? You want to be like
she
me?
Was
don't
asking
you?
Her.
She said, don't you want to? Don't you want to do what I do?" And she goes, "No, you're sad and have forgotten what you really want." Mm-hmm. And then the girl says,
"That's a powerful scene."
The prostitute says, "What are you?" And she can't answer it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen, there's a lot going on in this movie. Like I say, it goes places for me. I think there's a lot at play here that even if I don't get it, I know it's there and I respect that.
Yeah.
I want to see what this girl does again, guys. Yeah. I'm going to stick with my 9.
I'll stick with my 10 too. I think you hit it. I think it's hypnotic and I think ponderous in the best possible way is a good explanation to it.
Yeah.
And hands down, I think we can all agree that it's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well shot, well produced, well made. I want to bring one thing up though that Michael said. When you copy from a director and you do it better than them, which director do you think she did better than the actual director?
Digging around on this one, it's always
coming back.
Jarmusch. Oh, the shades of Jarmusch. She must love Jarmusch.
Because it's in black and white?
I don't know.
That's part of it. That's the biggest part of it.
But I think the staging of the scenes is very Jarmusch in the style. And also Tarantino for some reason.
Yeah.
I think this is better, just as good as any Jarmusch film I've ever seen.
Oh, no.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, it certainly is.
I definitely think so.
No, it's not.
Yep. I'm going to go there. I'm going to go there right now and say this is as good as any Jarmusch film.
What's a better one?
I've ever seen.
A better Jarmusch film?
Yeah.
Only Lovers Left Alive is pretty good.
Yeah, that's...
But that's,
man,
that's completely different, though.
It's
it's a vampire,
it's a Jarmusch film?
But it's not what they're referencing it to, like his black and white work.
Okay. What's the one where the guys escape prison?
Down by Law.
Down
which
by
is
law.
A brilliant film.
Which
Come
is
on, man.
Way better than this.
I mean, you're cherry-picking that...
Well, you asked me.
Yeah. Hey, he's giving
me
the answer.
Name one.
All right,
fine. I don't see this as any kind of...
And I don't think it's superior, though.
I don't see this as any kind of watered-down version of anybody's work.
No, I agree with that totally. I mean, you can have inspiration, and you can have teachers.
I'm not saying that she's not taking influence from all these people.
Yeah, but she's made her own style.
When you get to a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy, you know, it's like, okay, this ain't so good anymore. But yeah, I see where she takes influence. I mean, you can see the Lynch influence, big time.
Yeah.
She's got to be a huge Lynch fan.
Yeah, Lynch as well.
Sergio Leone with the spaghetti western stuff and the. Maricone music.
Well, you could go
gotta be
John Huston and the noir stuff, man. I mean,
noir. Any noir.
This is like one of the best new noirs that I've seen in a long time.
I'm going to go there.
This is a big mix, but I don't think she did it better than any of her influences.
But if you want to make a spaghetti western type of vampire film.
If you
want
to make an Iranian spaghetti western vampire
you're
noir
gonna
film,
you're gonna
I
have
think
to
she
pull.
Nailed it. I think she did it better than anybody has done in history.
I mean, see, here's the thing.
I think she's the only one who's done it in history.
I think that's what's great is because if you're going to say that's the kind of film I'm going to make, you're going to have to pull from the spaghetti western. You're going to have to pull from Jarmusch. You're going to have to.
Yeah.
And maybe next you'll make like a John Hughes, Terrence Malick film. Whatever that might look like.
I'll go for the John Hughes.
In Mexico City. Right?
Producer, any last words from you?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
I know you're good. You're That's fantastic. It. You are the greatest producer in the history of this Q Film Cast.
Yeah.
All right. So give him a shout out. I don't know why I did that.
Woohoo! Shout out to me. Hashtag Adam Rules.
Hashtag save Hannibal.
Booshtag Adam Rules.
Let's take a break. One last time. Listen to something or other in reference to this film. A girl walks home alone at night. We're going to come back, get into our top three directorial debuts.
Yes.
I do believe.
Yeah.
That ain't bad.
We're going with that.
I had narrowed my list down from 500. Got a few things, though. Let's talk about that in just a minute. Here you go. One last time. We'll be back.
Yes, Tatiana. I can't wait to find out what the number of the day is either. But please control your enthusiasm. Go find a nice place to hang from so I can begin.
There. Now, here we go. One. Two. Three.
So there you go, something. I don't know. So let's do it, guys. Top three directorial debuts.
Yeah.
I like this.
I do, too. You know, it's those films where people say, hey, you better take notice of this person.
It's kind of a take-notice film.
It is a take-notice film.
What, not everybody's first movie was a take-notice film.
No, we've established it. Hopefully, that's one of y'all's categories.
I mean, let's just face it.
Terrible directorial
James
debut.
Cameron did not bring the Earth to a halt with Piranha 2.
The Spawning.
No, but Stephen King did with Maximum Overdrive.
Oh, yeah. Adam loves that movie.
Directorial debut.
Yeah.
I love that movie. Shut up.
It may be his number one.
I just gave him his idea for his number one.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into it. Let's talk about our top threes.
Yeah.
A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Yep.
Savage, if you walked home alone at night, I don't think I would worry about you. You're a man of stature.
Yes.
You're a man of intimidating form.
Yeah. I've got a very serious demeanor.
You can scowl. You know, you're this big-hearted, lovable guy.
Yeah.
But you have an intensity about you. I would run the other way.
Yeah.
I would run if you were walking home alone at night.
Yeah, I don't get messed with too much.
Because you're a girly man.
Why am I pumping his tires?
I don't know.
Enough of that crap. Let's get into it. Number three for you. What is it?
I'm just going to go with movies I like. Reservoir Dogs, Tarantino. Somebody's got to say it.
Someone did say it, Max. Yeah. I left it off the list because I knew somebody was going to say it.
Yeah, I'll move it on mine.
Yeah, you can make it number one.
Why is that number three?
Because I got two others.
Come on, you got to back that up.
I will. You'll hear my other two.
That's not what I meant.
That's a hell of a good introduction right there for any director.
Right.
Kind of changed things. Was it
was a game changer.
It was a game
changer. Well, I mean, Pulp Fiction came out, and that's really where he got his thing. And then people kind of rediscovered Reservoir Dogs. Like, oh, wow, that was his first film? The Matrix and Bound. You know, you see Matrix, and he's like, oh, Bound? Oh.
Because I'm looking at IMDb, and his first movie was My Best Friend's Birthday.
Right. How long was it?
1987. It's not considered a short.
Yeah, whatever. Go on, man.
He's such a party pooper.
I know. Yeah, I can't wait to hear your number ones and then just smash them against the wall.
Reservoir Dogs, Tarantino.
Max, he brings a good point. I like it when a director makes a good film and then you sit back and go, okay, do it again. And they do something even grander, like with Pulp Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
They did that. All right, number three for you. Someone had to say it. Someone did say it. Savage brings it out. Tarantino's Reservoir Dogs.
Somebody had to say it.
All right, Mr. Pink.
It won't be me.
Max Gumbo
Johnson.
I got to
be Pink.
I don't know. What's wrong with Pink?
Because he doesn't
tip. Because Mr. Purple's on another job.
Max Gumbo Johnson, number three for you, inspired by A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, directorial debuts.
Number three, I'm going Blood Simple, the Coen Brothers.
Yep. I knew you would.
I have not seen that in so long.
That's a great movie.
It is pretty good.
And it was a game changer. Brought back modern American noir films.
Let's talk to the producer. You want to do that? You want to go over there right now?
Yeah. I can't wait to hear these.
It's going to be, Pumpkinhead Part 5 by Jim Johnstone. What's your number three directorial debut, sir? What is it?
I want to educate people.
Okay. Edumacate? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Number three, Randall Kleiser from Greece. The biggest biggest directorial debut, highest grossing film that they've ever done. Was Grease by Randall Kleiser.
All right. I want to know what else has Randall Kleiser done.
Randall Kleiser. Oh, okay.
Oh, say, he wasn't prepared for that question.
I mean, you knew it was coming.
He's going to produce it on the fly.
I'll wait.
Okay. He's done, let's see, Blue Lagoon.
Oh, wow.
Flight of the Navigator. Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
Whoa.
The Kid?
The Kid or the Kids?
The Kid. Big Top Pee-wee.
Oh, this guy's killing it.
Yeah, it's my party.
Hey, he did Big Top Pee-wee.
Yeah,
with Red Riding Hood.
Oh, he's crushing it.
But you know what? It was the biggest opening of a directorial debut.
Okay.
Made $188 million from Greece, which is now an iconic movie.
He's standing there with facts and figures.
Hey, man.
He's standing there. He's saying, bring it on. I can back this up. He's talking about big numbers. That's not a bad answer. He came prepared with that answer, Max.
Try having your directorial debut be a musical now.
Yeah. Hey, you know, one directorial debut was What's
Unless
Her Face?
Unless you're Taylor Swift.
In Can't Stop the Music. That was a directorial debut.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Nancy, the
Madge
Charmin lady or whatever she was.
Wait a second. I still got to go.
Palm Olive lady.
One last time. You said, Honey, I Blew Up the Kid. I can't get over that.
Yeah.
It's Kids.
It's a different one.
No, there was another one called Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
It was just the one kid.
This is the Kid, 1992.
Moving along.
I shrunk the kid.
We're still on number threes. We've got to burn through this. My number three. You know what I'm doing? A little bit of a theme.
Okay.
Got looking at these guys.
All right.
Looking at these films and these debuts. I want to do actors who made a decent debut film.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You following me?
Are they directors?
Could be.
Okay.
How about this? How about Bill Paxton in Frailty? I like the film.
That is a great film. I didn't know he directed that.
He did.
Yeah. All right.
He got a lot of praise for that.
Great movie.
Why hasn't he directed more? That was a
fairly
acclaimed film.
Yeah.
And he got a lot of props for the job he did on that movie, too.
That was a decent film.
McConaughey.
I love that movie.
Hey. Let's go to you, Savage. We're talking about number two, A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, inspired top three directors, directorial debuts. What's your number two?
Yeah, you're going to take your smacks and like them. Introducing Mr. Humphrey Bogart, John Huston, the Maltese Falcon.
Maltese Falcon, yeah.
That's pretty good. Man, I didn't think about that.
Right there.
Max did. Max is the Yoda of films.
Oh, man. Where he's smacking that dude. He's like, you'll take your smacks and like it. It's one of the best scenes in cinema, man.
John Huston, too. Man, that guy's great.
Yeah, he's made some good stuff, man.
Made a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. I thought I was the only
guy. A lot with Bogart. You
know? I thought I was the only one that said that on a regular basis. You'll take your smacks and like it.
Right. We'll take our Max and like it.
Listen, we're going to take. Did you see that?
I saw what he did there.
It's segue time. Going to take my Max and like it. Number two from you, sir. What is it?
Oh, this is tough. I'm going to have to go with Dennis Hopper, Easy Rider.
Yes, sir.
That's pretty good.
Total game changer of a film.
Mm-hmm. It was.
And then he made the last movie, which I don't understand.
What was it?
That was the name of the movie.
The last movie.
It was so weird.
Yeah.
Was that the last movie he ever directed?
No.
Oh.
But that was the name of the movie. It was crazy. I didn't understand what was going on.
Did you see my play on words there, Max?
I saw how it works.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just being obvious. Easy Rider.
Yeah.
Game Changers. The ultimate counterculture movie.
Yeah. Easy Rider is an easy answer.
I've never seen it.
It's an easy answer because it's a fantastic response.
Absolutely.
Introduced to lens flare.
All right.
To quote Tim Meadows from Grown Ups 2.
What? You mean me?
Yeah. Well,
Adam.
Educate us.
Educate me one more time. Number two for you. What is it?
The worst directorial debut. Carlos Marino directed Dog Eat Dog. It debuted at a whopping $72.
Ooh. Wow.
This was best, and he just says, to hell with it, I'm going to go worst.
I'm
going the absolute worst directorial
debut. That is the worst. $72 for an opening movie.
First of all, one more time. The director and the name of the film, please.
Carlos Marino, Dog Eat Dog.
Okay, so the film is Dog Eat Dog.
Yeah.
Max, seen it?
No. Apparently nobody else has either.
Only made $72. We've already made it more money than
was that the one with Chaz Palminteri?
No.
Okay, they've since beat that then.
Well, $72.
Oh, no, there's one with Christian. Is it the one with Christian Slater?
No, this is back from
back in the day.
2008. I have no idea what the producer's doing. Yeah, I don't know what the producer's doing with this list.
He just took a number two on our thing, so give us your number two.
I see what you did there. Number two for me.
Yeah.
Directorial debut by an actor who made a decent film.
Yeah.
How about Ben Affleck with Gone Baby Gone?
That's a good movie.
It is a good movie.
I like that movie
a lot. Pretty intense, man.
I've heard. I haven't seen
it. A little nepotism with Casey Affleck, but what are you doing?
I don't care about that. It was a quality film. I like the twist.
I like Casey Affleck.
I like the fact that you had Morgan Freeman with the big reveal at the end. Right. I like the girl that was nominated.
Hey, I haven't seen it.
She was nominated for an Academy Award. She did a fantastic job. I can't remember her name.
Yeah.
What's her name? Who cares? It was a good film. That's my number two.
All right.
Number one.
Yeah.
Savage. You know what we're talking about here.
I know.
We're talking about directorial
debut. Somebody got to say it.
Go.
Somebody's got to say it.
Am I scratching my number one out?
Citizen Kane.
Okay, I scratch my number one.
Orson Welles.
Yeah.
When you burst on the scene like that. I mean, he had the War of the Worlds thing, but whatever. When you cinematically, when you bust on the scene like that, and at black and white and the use of shadows and light, I mean, it's still up there with the very, very, very best.
You say it's a game changer. That's a game maker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. These are the rules.
Right? That made the game for you to try to change.
Yeah. And it's still hardly ever met to this day.
Mm-hmm. So. Number one, Max. That's tough to beat. You got to go with that. But what do you got for number one?
I'm going to have to pick here for my list. I guess if I want to go with somebody that really changed the game, I'll have to go with Romero in Night of the Living Dead. That was a game changer. That was a trendsetter.
These are all great answers.
Yeah.
You guys have great answers.
We've had a couple bad ones.
I have a theme going, so it's not really like these are definitive films. I have a theme. Yeah. Adam, I have no idea what the hell you're talking about. But I'm going to go with you, sir, on that, man. We're talking about Romero. Everybody's still trying to be Romero, aren't they?
Of course.
They're still following the rules of the
He's still trying to be Romero. Unfortunately, it's not working.
Wait a minute. Producer, I don't think he just made a film. He made the handbook.
He did.
He made the handbook for this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
maybe
on the
that
edge.
Was his number one.
I'm on the edge of my seat. I sit here with great anticipation, producer, because I know it's going to make me shake my head and edumacate me. But what's your number one?
You cannot beat this one. The Racehorse by Edward Muybridge in 1878.
Okay.
What in the hell is he talking about?
I don't know.
It's the very first film ever made.
Wait, that's not bad.
How long was it a short?
It was like 16 seconds.
Yeah.
But you know what?
No, hey, I get it,
it's the very first film ever made. How could he beat that?
It's the directorial debut.
Of directors. Of
cinematic directors.
Everything.
They're directing plays since antiquity, man.
This is for film.
I think he picked that because most of his most proudest work lasts about 16 seconds, too. I think in the end that's why he went there.
Right,
a little
right.
something in common.
Yeah, right, right.
Actually, Adam, you know what? That's not a bad... He kind of duped us. That's actually a good answer.
Yeah, right.
How about the first debut of film?
Yeah.
Well, what did he do after that?
The debut of directing.
What did he do after that? He did...
Yeah, I'm sure he's on IMDb.
Yeah.
Adam...
He directed Sally Gardner at the Gallop.
Yeah.
Homage to Edward Muybridge.
All right. Yeah,
what year was this?
It was a classic.
1878.
You know what, though? I like what he did there. Adam, that's a good answer.
All right, cool.
Let me say, I appreciate that. My number one directorial debut inspired by A Girl Walks Home Alone Tonight.
Well, it can't be Citizen Kane.
Yeah, even though he was an actor, right?
You know what I'm going to do? Here's what I'm going to do. I have an actual quality answer. I'm going to put that on the table. I'm going to keep going back to a film.
Okay.
That every chance I get the chance to, anytime I get the chance to talk about it, I'm going to.
All right.
Robert Townsend Hollywood Shuffle. Why not?
Because it's terrible.
Well, we just keep talking about it.
It's not terrible.
All right.
How about this? How about every time I get the chance to talk about Hollywood Shuffle, I will do that.
All right. Well, what was your quality answer?
Robert Redford and Ordinary People.
That's good. I'd have gone with Clint Eastwood, play Misty for me.
I have that on there, too.
Or Clooney with Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
See, it just goes on and on.
Clooney, that was pretty good.
It was good. That was his directorial debut.
I know, but I wanted to be stupid.
Or you could have gone with Charles Laughton, Knight of the Hunter.
I had a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, no, there's a bunch of shout-outs. You know, how can you not say Rob Reiner and Spinal Tap?
Yeah, how can you not do that? Yeah. That could be on my list, but yeah.
Yeah.
Bottle Rocket, Wes Anderson.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Raimi, Evil Dead.
Absolutely.
No, that wasn't his first movie.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, come on.
It's his first mainstream movie. No,
okay, what was his first movie?
His first very...
And don't say Into the Woods.
No. His first actual movie that he directed. Hang on.
God.
It's Murder.
Yeah, it's because it's not a feature-length film. You die.
Listen,
it doesn't say short.
If we talk much longer, this is going to be a feature-length film. We got to get moving on.
Yeah.
Any last shout-outs? One last time. Anybody? Nothing? We got to
Race Ahead, David Lynch.
That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, there you
Spielberg.
Go.
Spielberg.
Say that.
Duel Spielberg.
Yeah, there you go. That's one of those films where it's like, okay, we know who you are. Do it again. Boom, here comes Jaws. Here comes Jaws. You know what I'm saying? Let's talk about next week's film.
All right.
Let's talk about what we're going to get into next.
Okay. All right.
My selection, this is a film. It was one of Roger Ebert's favorite films. 1986's Something Wild.
You're killing me with the suspense. Something Wild. What? Tell
ooh,
me.
Ooh, see that? See that? How about I won't even tell you?
Right.
How about we just say that it's a very wild film and it's something.
Something wild.
Something wild. Not where the wild things are.
Right. Oh, I like that.
No, next week's my selection. Let's get on with it, guys. This here was A Girl Walks Home Alone Tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you, Savage.
You're welcome.
Next week, I'm saying we're going to talk about Something Wild, Jonathan Demme film, Melanie Griffith. Once again, Adam loves her work, but
yeah,
we'll talk
right?
about that. Jeff Daniels.
Oh, yeah.
Lives down the road from my parents up in Michigan, by the way. They see him at Costco.
Pre-Dumb and Dumber.
Right? Yeah, pre-Dumb and Dumber. So that's next week's film, guys. Once again, A Girl Walks Home Alone Tonight. Come in next week to the queue. Something Wild. Episode 100 next week. I don't think we're going to do any big celebration.
No.
We're just going to keep... Well, we're going to keep doing what we do. We soldier on, Adam. We don't make a big deal out of this.
No.
I want champagne and caviar.
We'll be here to eat it.
What are you? Are you Robin
you
Lynch?
You provide it, and we'll be here.
Yeah.
Lifestyle, so the queue film cast.
Right.
Caviar dreams.
Right. Champagne wishes.
Yeah. That's next week, talking about Something Wild. Get back here for that. And until then, however it is you say, hashtag save animals.